I'm Dr. Kelly Brogan. You may know me as a New York Times bestselling author of a book with an exploding pill on the cover, renegade psychiatrist, pole dancer, or honorary member of the Disinformation Dozen. What can I say? I'm a born provocateur. I've spent most of my recent life exposing deceptions, connecting dots, and discovering the secret places my inner victim is still waiting to be liberated. And now, I feel called to help you reclaim all of your parts, your health, your sexuality, your power, and your expression, so that you can finally truly own yourself. I want to ignite in you that inner knowing and the pulsing vitality that lives beneath your disempowerment, disconnection, and resentment, so that you can audaciously, courageously, and playfully alchemize your struggle into the specific pleasure of who you are. This is Reclamation Radio. Hi, and welcome back to Reclamation Radio. I am Dr. Kelly Brogan. And today I want to talk about the subject of female entrepreneurship and what it is like to be a career woman today. And arguably, I could have let this cook a bit more. However, I have been having this conversation with so many friends and colleagues that it feels like something is rippling forth. And I just want to put a couple things in your pipe and see if you want to smoke it. So I have observed and experienced that there is an epidemic of women in varying states of vigilance about money, about productivity, and about success. Often these are women who are married with partners and they are still holding all of this energy. And of course, it can be women like myself who are single with children playing both roles. But I don't know a single female entrepreneur who is living an easeful, set it and forget it life with her business. I am probably the greatest expression of that I know, because I have typically less than 4 scheduled hours a week and I can do whatever I want with the rest of my life. And my business has been very successful by any metric since its inception for many years. And I transitioned from a brick and mortar private practice to a fully virtual business. And so I've, you know, played in different arenas as a, you know, published author, et cetera. So I've tried on many different flavors of entrepreneurship. And I have come closer than most women that I know to balancing the work-life equation. And I look around and here's the thing. Even though I only work a few hours a week, and it is definitely doing things that I love to do. I wake up thinking about my business. I go to sleep thinking about my business. I live my life, and I'm always looking through the lens of teachable moments and inspirational content. And of course, the light side of this is that any struggle that I encounter, I can mine for meaning almost immediately. And it actually ends up being something that I can be paid to share. So what is the problem? The problem is that there is a gaslight that I am waking up to. And I wonder what you think about it. The gaslight is that I can have it all as a wife, as a mother, and as a businesswoman, that there's no need to choose between them, because now you can have all of the identities you want. And my tale from the trenches is that this is not true, that this is actually a myth. And when I poll the women around me, do you actually feel like you are a present mother while you're also running your business? And this could be, you literally are doing nothing that day related to work. You're with your kids. But is your energy actually with your kids? Or is a good percentage, like maybe even 53%, in your business realm? And what about dynamics with your partner, with your husband? Is there actually a balance there where you are oriented towards your role as wife and also your role as founder or CEO. I know some women, some female entrepreneurs in the women's empowerment space who are, you know, a couple of decades ahead of me, actually. Like you could call them elders, let's say. And when I speak to them, I consider their lived experience a harbinger. I do not want what they have going on, where I get to the end of my life, even if I have, not that they're at the end of their lives, but you know what I mean? Even if I have a increasingly and robustly successful business and I can enjoy inspiring and catalyzing transformation in so many women, which I do, but I am in this dynamic with my business where I never actually get to exhale. And I like somehow die in a castle alone kind of a thing. Is that worth it? So there is a pain point that I have identified we come to as a career woman and specifically entrepreneurs. So I am really devoting this solo cast to all of my girl boss entrepreneurs, all of my small business owners, my founders, my CEOs, especially, but not only if you are a mother and a wife. There is a pain point that I predict you will come to where things are going well and maybe even better than before, better than ever, but you start to taste the reality that it's never going to be enough, that there is like a hungry ghost energy in your business. And you might start to recognize if you have been and played the codependent in toxic, dysfunctional romantic relationships, you might recognize some of the signature energies where you're like, you know, either towards the public that you're facing or towards your business herself, always trying to get love, right? Like you're just settling for crumbs of fulfillment and you're trying, dancing as fast as you can, trying to figure out all the ways that you can possibly feel fulfilled and securely attached. And what I have come to see is that most of the women I know, myself included, are in dysfunctional codependent relationships with their business. And again, mine is probably the least egregious example because I have the trappings of an incredible entrepreneurial experience. And I have done a lot of inner exploration about my relationship to wealth and the capacity that my work has to help me alchemize a lot of my shadow material. Like I say, my haters are my gurus. And it has been so fulfilling, so deeply fulfilling to have this creative outlet. So what I am speaking to is energetic dynamics. And what I'm beginning to see, which is that your relationship with your business is a reflection of your capacity for polarized intimacy and the complementary energetics of the masculine and the feminine. Let me explain. So as a creative, as you know, the one holding the vision, I am, whether I'm a man or a woman, but obviously you know, I'm speaking as a woman to women about this, I am in the feminine pole. I'm running energy and inspiration and intuition and enthusiasm and all of these beautiful feminine energies through my system. And I want every creative founder's desire, I think I can generalize about this, is that I want my business to just get me, okay? Like literally, figuratively, just get me, take care of it, turn my art into a commodified offering that helps me, helps my team, helps the people, and just handle it. And for many years, I avoided everything related to marketing. Like I thought it was like beneath me to bother learning about marketing until I started to recognize that marketing is the relationship that you have with your audience. It's like actually relational. This is all relational. But I didn't recognize until very recently that the dynamics in my business were a direct reflection of the availability that I have in my feminine to be held and contained, to truly trust and truly receive from my business and the associated team. So I want to explain a little bit of what I have learned in consulting experts about this, just, you know, serendipitous conversations that came into my path, including conversation with Sterling Griffin, who's a friend of Aubrey Marcus's. And I was able to learn a bit about entrepreneurship that I am able to share with you so that you can start to see where it is that you might be in this journey, because it's kind of the same journey as you might be taking toward healthy, polarized, romantic love. So he talked to me about this pretty universal pain point when it comes to growing, especially a digital business. And at this pain point, founders feel like they're wearing golden handcuffs, right? They feel like they are shackled to this thing, and it's a great thing. But there is an energetic, like, consumption that is happening that actually makes you a slave. And I would say, especially if you are a public-facing content creator, that there are no boundaries, that there is this sense that you're actually working all the time, even when you're not working all the time, that you kind of need to, like, be available to your team no matter what. So I want to take a quick poll. If you are a business owner, an entrepreneur, how often do you wake up thinking about work? How often do you fall asleep thinking about work? How often do you think about work when you're with your kids or your partner, or even when you're making love? Does your business feel like a hungry ghost that will never be fed? Do you feel like you're chasing something that never seems to arrive, like it's always receding on the horizon? And what are you working for? Are you working for money? Are you working for validation, for influence, for fame, for impact? Are you working for creative expression? Have you ever even stopped to ask yourself that question? Because we are unwinding a lot of programming. I've been speaking about this programming for many episodes and many months. This is the foundational premise of Reclaimed Woman and our program Reclaimed, which is that we can resolve the gaslight as women that says we should be happy, thanks to all of the gifts of empowerment that feminism has delivered to us. Yet we are struggling. Yet we feel like we're living behind a glass wall. Yet we are toggling between overwhelm and numbness. There is a way out. There are some bitter ass pills to swallow in the process. And I know it's worth it. I'm signed up. And if you're listening, odds are you may be at least curious. So we have been programmed to pursue, as women, higher education, training, and employment. We have taken the bait that says that we will be free when we are working for and with strangers, and that we are somehow enslaved, missing out, disadvantaged, dependent, or reckless when we are simply choosing to align with the choices that we made to marry and have children, when we are, you know, serving those children and our husbands. So, as I've mentioned, when we imagine that we can be both career women and also wives and mothers, that we can show up to all of these roles no problem, we gaslight ourselves and we never get to truly enjoy what it is to be a woman, to align with our feminine essence, to take full responsibility for our societal role as steward of this species and channeler of Eros. And we never truly get to enjoy what it is to exhale, to be contained, provided for, and protected. So I interview my friend Alyssa on this podcast, and she is a perfect example of the kinds of choices, the kinds of leaps that we can make as women to align fully, to get all our parts on board with the decisions that we have already made. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a little bit. But let me tell you about a little story that Alyssa told me. So Alyssa quit her job as a venture capitalist. She is a PhD scientific researcher. She is arguably the most competent woman I have ever met, and that is saying something. She is a girl boss to beat all girl bosses, and she decided to quit her job after she had two home births and to raise her children, and ignited in her man a capacity to solve the problem of providership that seemed to be presented by the loss of her income. Okay, so she's telling me the story about how she was with her daughter, and her daughter was riding her bike, and she's outside with her. And she's like, Kelly, I had nothing scheduled. I had nobody waiting for me. I had nothing else to do except to be with her while she was riding her bike. And she depicted it in this way that, I mean, it was like a psychedelic portal for me just to visit with what that moment must have been like. Because I know at this stage how to play. I know how to prioritize my pleasure. I know how to enjoy my life and create experiences that are superfluous and frivolous and indulgent. I'm really good at that. However, in my literal life, my whole damn life, I have never, okay, I don't know about my childhood, but I'm talking about my adult life. I have never had that experience that she described. I have had a job since I was 10, okay? I worked at a bagel store and I have not enjoyed. And I could not possibly enjoy because I was either in the churn of trainings and education with associated to-dos and tests and deadlines, or I was building my own business. So anyone, again, who's listening, who is a founder, who is a CEO, y'all know what I'm talking about, that you're not, as a mom, out watching your kid ride a bike, fully present and enjoying that experience. She also talks about what money that comes through her husband's providership feels like and how different it is than the money that she used to earn. So I am in a special position to be able to look back as, you know, a pedigreed clinician, a New York Times bestseller. I have, you know, this very successful virtual business, and I have achieved all that feminism promised. And fantastic. It has shaped me. My life would not be this way if it wasn't supposed to be this way. In all of the ways, I say yes to everything. And I am here to tell you that the pot of gold that we were promised at the end of the rainbow, it ain't here. It's literally not here. And so what do we do? Well, I think that some orientation around the spiritual opportunity that your business represents in terms of creating the conditions for your business to be a good husband to you, to provide for you, to look out for your interests, to manage things while you just eat grapes and wait for impulse and inspiration, you know, to move through your vessel. That opportunity exists. I want to tell you about what I've learned about how to achieve that. And simultaneously, I want to offer an invitation to consider the possibility that if you are a mother, and even if you are just a wife, that you prioritize those choices. Because being an entrepreneur, in my opinion, is not compatible with being in a polarized romantic dynamic, especially if you are a contributor to the finances of the household. And being an entrepreneur is not compatible with being a truly present mother. Now, I am not saying that you shouldn't pursue your hobbies and that if your hobbies happen to earn you money, great. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't anything. I am just offering the possibility that we have been sold a very poor bargain. And when we wonder about the resentment and bitterness and hollowness of our experience, the martyrdom that says, look at what it's taken me to get here. Look at how much I manage. That it makes a lot of sense that we would feel that way because we're not actually designed to play this role. And if you want to be like me, you know, a single girly who is doing the entrepreneurial thing, you know, on her own without a partner, and that's your pleasure, Fantastic. I'm not the whole podcast is not for you. Okay. Well, maybe one part of it that's coming up is for you, just the structuring your business wisely kind of a thing. So every woman knows that one of the fastest ways to amplify the pleasure that already exists in your body is to get into a luxurious bath. But what if you could program the water with the wisdom and intelligence of flowers while also infusing the space with the sensuality of the most unique aromas available? Lotus Way bath salts are a feminine ritual that drops me into my body in minutes. It's the power of some of your favorite flower essences delivered in a new way. So head to lotusway.com and use the code KELLY15 for 15% off. The link is in show notes for you. But if you are a mother also, which I happen to be, there are 18 years. Okay, so let's round it up. There's 2 decades of your entire damn life where you get to build intimate connection with these humans that you chose to bear. You did not have to. Thank you, feminism. Okay, you did not have to have these kids. You chose to have these kids. So what is it to align with that? Well, here's what I've learned. You have 2 choices, okay? If you have an existing business or you're thinking about starting one. One is that you set your business up so that it's a good husband to you. And I say that, you know, tongue in cheek. I say that meaning that it provides very solid masculine energy. So all you're literally doing is like playing. Okay. All you're literally doing is allowing your inspiration to be commodified and your energy packaged up and sold, you know, for yours and the greater good. So your business either becomes a good husband, and I'll tell you what I think that requires, or you quit, or you literally quit. And to play this thought experiment and to feel into how provocative this suggestion is, I like to rewind to some 15 years ago. When I decided to birth my first child, okay? And I like to consider, what would it have been like if their dad, if my husband, had said to me with his strong spine and his clarity and leadership, if he had said to me, Kelly, I want you to stay home and take care of these kids because that's what our family needs. And I also know it's what you need. Okay, I probably would have divorced him on the spot. Like, literally, actually. But when I look back, which is just an experiment, it's just fun, because obviously it needed to be exactly this way. But when I look back, there is a part of me, and it is arguably the part that is holding the grief of the experience of an intact family, the grief of that being over for me forever in this lifetime. I could cry about that in 1 second. So this grief is not very buried. It's very real. And you probably could not have at the time convinced me to stay. You know, you couldn't have convinced me to believe that my fulfillment lived there. And if he had said that, I can't imagine that I would have ever been receptive. Who knows, right? Energetically, maybe if it came from the right sacred dominant energy, perhaps something would have awakened in me. All right, here I am with my MD, my $200,000 of debt, my career just starting because I was in my fellowship. I was finishing my training when I became pregnant. And my pregnancies were both planned. You know, this is very intentional. And if I had been asked that, and if I had decided to do that, all of the vulnerability that I am just now in these days in my lifescape making contact with would have been offered up to my awareness. And the choice that I would have had to actually align with that man, the father of my children, right? To actually align with him and to trust him to provide entirely. Because now I see it as a woman who contributes, and there's all sorts of good reasons, and we don't need to talk about those reasons, it doesn't matter. This is energetic. A woman who contributes is implying, subtly if not directly, you don't got me, and you don't got this. Let me help you, honey. Okay? You need my help. You know what that is? That's mommy energy. And that is a poison in the dynamic. Again, If you want to be single, you want to do your own damn thing, you want to play husband and wife within one person. I'm talking about if you choose to be in partnership, how do you get in your lane so that you can have the experience that you actually want? And I'm suggesting that one possibility is that you cease to contribute. And I know what that feels like. Because even to this day, when I consider that, which is something that I am considering in my lifescape, is like, what would it be to wind down my career? Are y'all going to survive without me? Right? What would it be? And that's where I can find all of the disempowerment that my career is driving. That's where I can find all of my vital force locked outside of me in this identity that feels like me, right? It feels like an essential part of who I am. But of course, that's not true. And you know, anytime I meet somebody, there's a little part of me that's like, oh, they need to know that's a performer, right? They need to know, you know, what I'm about. But that part doesn't understand that I am valuable just waking up in the morning. The same way that as a little girl, I wasn't enculturated to connect to that. I was enculturated to be celebrated for my productivity, my success, and my achievements. So the reclamation of our identities from attachment to our productivity, success, achievement, and our careers is something I feel we got to talk about, you know? So let me tell you a little bit more about this pain point that I discussed with Sterling. So apparently, there are these stages of entrepreneurial development, and I am going to track them to like David Data stages of masculine and feminine development. And I want to see if you agree that they track really well. So he says, in the first stage of a business, you hire vendors, and those vendors are less competent than you. So they require direction from you. So you hire a vendor and you say, I want you to do this. Get back to me when it's done. So this is, you know, the zero-sum game stage of relationships, the first stage of relationships where, you know, the woman is in her safety defenses and she is controlling and micromanaging the man. And arguably that extends through the next stage. But she's in her masculine shell telling the business, which is holding the masculine energy, what to do. So many of us in our earlier relationships, perhaps in the relationship you're in now, you feel more competent than your man. And you feel like you can do it better. So you're just going to tell him what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And then you're often going to be kind of disappointed, frustrated. He misses deadlines. You know, he doesn't produce the product you most appreciate, et cetera. So that's the first stage. Then you get to a point of growth in your business where you hire what are called managers. So a manager is somebody who has an equal level of competence to you. And again, not in specific skills, generally. And this person can execute more complex strategies, can get things done and expand your business extraordinarily. So over, I would say, the first, you know, 10 or so years of my business, I was blessed with some extraordinary managers. And they took the business to where it went. You know, it was their competence, their skills, their dedication. And yet I still always felt like I was the one who knew better where the business needed to go and maybe even how, right? So this is a second stage David Data relationship. This is the egalitarian moment, you know, where you find yourself in a relationship with somebody who's really a match for your competence, like a man who is pretty much as competent as you. But often you feel like, God, I wish he would just take the damn lead. Like, why doesn't he just tell me what to do? Like, you start to feel that yearning for sacred leadership. You start to want to simply be told what to do, except you don't trust enough that the resources are there for that to happen. And so you continue to find yourself in the position of having to direct the operations and everything that's going on. So what Sterling said is that there comes a time, this pain point arises around then, where you either quit or you begin to hire what are called leaders. And you can hire a lead in marketing, in sales, in operations, and in customer fulfillment. And these leads are actually superior in their competency than you, which means that when you bring these folks onto your team, and it could be even an investment to hire one, when you bring these folks onto your team, they take you where they know that you need to go and where you couldn't even have figured out how to get to based on their experience, their native competency. And at that point, you start to taste what it is to be in the feminine pole, because now your business is taking on its masculine energetic and beginning to take the wheel. So when I hired one of these folks who just dropped like an angel, you know, from the sky, it catalyzed this entire spiritual awakening for me, which is to recognize that my experience as a female entrepreneur is not actually compatible with my fulfillment as a mother. And when I am in my next relationship, I probably will be retired. So those are big. And it also, as soon as I started to feel that masculine containment, as soon as I started to feel like, wow, she's got me, you know, I started to see all of my shadow material and all of my suppressed overwhelm and all of the grief even around the ways that I have put my career before my role as a woman, and specifically as a wife and a mother, as somebody who was the breadwinner historically. And the shadow material that was unearthed for me, I wonder if you can relate to any of this, is around my micromanagement and my controlling defenses. So I really fancied myself like an extremely chill CEO. I never thought of myself as a micromanager. Like, I didn't know the logins or the passwords or who the hell was doing what. I was like on a need to know basis. And what I was reflected is that it's not micromanagement in the overt way. It's micromanagement in the energetic stranglehold that we have often as women that says, I need to be involved in everything. Okay, that's called not trusting, right? So if I need to be involved in everything versus just allowing things to happen, then every single decision ultimately gets bottlenecked with me. And no one on my team feels empowered to make decisions without me. And this is where the parallels are extraordinary. Because if you don't trust your man and you don't treat him as if he is fully trustworthy, you will never see his full potential. In the same way that if I hire somebody and then I'm micromanaging their decision-making, which would make sense, right? They don't know what's going on. They're new. But what if I just let them fly, right? Like, what if I just saw what happened if I trusted them entirely? Then I would see what they look like in their full agency. That leap requires a maturation of my nervous system, okay? As does the capacity to fully receive this level of support. Like, there are many days, you know, with this new employee where I was like, why is she doing all of this for me? And of course, I've had that feeling with all of my beloved team members. However, the energetics are igniting in me the mistrust that I've had of the masculine to truly want to serve me without, and of course, I'm like paying this woman, so it's not, it doesn't track entirely, but to truly want to serve me simply because that's what he's designed to do, right? So I don't have to bring any worthiness, any usefulness, any solutions, any nothing to the table. That level of receiving simply for who I am, we can practice this in our businesses. And it can start with the first assistant that you hire. And then when you start to, if you travel this path, when you start to hire amazing managers and leads, you know, these marketing leads, these sales leads, you will likely feel the vulnerability of what it is to be handled and contained in this way. So practicing trust, relaxing the micromanagement reflex, and truly receiving, which requires that there isn't a focus on what's done, not quite exactly how you would do it. Right? So if you get a gift and you are focused on the aspects that you don't like about it versus the fact that this gift is coming into your field, you will constrict the flow of your own feminine energy. That appreciation, that enthusiasm, it is the energy that wants to move through your system. So if you can progress, and apparently this is just kind of how it goes, right, in businesses as they scale. And you may want to come on my podcast and teach us all about this. You may know all of this. This was news to me, and it's news to every one of my friends who are female entrepreneurs. So as you travel this path and you move towards the polarity of your business, where you actually are resting in the feminine and you've created the conditions for your team to be that masculine container, you might decide, now I want to sell it. You might decide, now I want to just do this aspect of it, or, you know, I just want to play in here. It's going to become really clear what is enjoyable and what was wound up in this surrogate empowerment, this sense of attachment to an identity that will not deliver you the fulfillment that could possibly come through your own children. And honestly, that could possibly come through your role as wife. So you will begin to experience more choices as you expose all of the shadow material that is driving your attachment to your career as a woman. And I do think that we have an opportunity to align with our choices, right? So thanks to all the waves of feminism, thanks to all the related psyops, I don't need a man. I don't need to get married. I don't need to have children. And I can experience valor and celebration and all sorts of righteous entitlement. Just living that life, living that career woman life. And if I choose to get married, what is the greatest expression of a wife? What does that actually look like? Does it look like a woman who is in her flailing, financially preoccupied, success, achievement, and productivity obsessed energy, who then somehow wants this, you know, healthy leader of a man to make her life easier? I don't know. Are those at odds? Perhaps. Data talks actually a lot about like shifting out of the work energy for a woman. And I'm suggesting you either set yourself up in a business where your business is the good husband and your whole nervous system can exhale and you can just be in your feminine energy, whether you're, you know, working or not. So either that, or you consider the possibility. Like he recommends, like, you know, that you and your partner, you transition. You both transition you into your body, you know, after a day of work. And I, you know, I would take it a bit farther based on my lived experience to suggest that I actually don't think the two are compatible. And I'm sure there are exceptions, there are versions of work. I'm just saying generally. So if you choose to be a wife, and definitely if you choose to be a mother, I don't know a single, and please let me know if you think you're the example, because I want to learn from you. I don't know a single mother who is also an entrepreneur or who is a career woman who's going to a job and allowing her kids to be raised by strangers in daycare. I don't know a single one who lives guilt, regret, and remorse free. So what the fuck does that mean? That means that we've been duped. It means that we've been sold a poor bargain. And it means that we have experienced the gaslight that says you can do it all and you should be grateful and happy that you can. When I think about what matters in my life, I love having this conversation with you. I actually love this podcast. It is so enjoyable for me to talk to fascinating people, to be, you know, to have the opportunity to ferment these ideas And what really matters to me is my relationships in my real life, specifically my children. So how do I align with the choice that I made a decade and a half ago to have kids? I believe that the way that I align with that is to not work, period, okay, and have a provider in my life, okay? So that's, I recorded another podcast about choosing motherhood where I talk about if you are going to bring a stepfather into your children's lives, make sure that he allows you to be a better mother. And the only way that he would do that is because he's an epic provider and he makes your life easier. And you don't have to think about any of that shit and you just get to be a mom, which would not be the case if you were single. So you either quit and orient yourself towards your kids. If you have a husband, you have a father, you know, in the mix, you trust him to solve the problem of providership and you take that leap where you say, I know you got this, baby, that's why I chose you. And you hold all the vulnerability and all that caretaking and all that, like, are we going to be homeless? You hold it in your system because you're ready to do that. Or you recognize the opportunity to move through these stages of business that I'm talking about, where you begin to populate your business with leaders who can allow you to essentially exit the business in a meaningful way. I know that was a lot. There will definitely be a part 2, 3, and 4 to this conversation. And it's just extremely alive in me right now to consider the possibility that every single aspect of my identity as a liberated woman that I thought was nothing but light has a shadow. And every single aspect that I thought was nothing but shadow has a light side. I find this level of inquiry and exploration and consideration ultimately empowering. I hope you do as well. And I would love to know what you think. Till next time.